course, began with some preliminary things, swearing in some lawyers who became part of what they call the Supreme Court bar, and that's something that often happens before argument begins. But these attorneys, you do not get a sentence out before they jump right in. And some of the justices are more active than others. Of course, Justice Thomas never asks a question.
He never says anything. Yeah.
He leans so far back in his chair, it's difficult to see the top of his head. He's just very... But Justice Breyer was very engaged in the argument. The Chief Justice was very engaged in the argument. And you would have thought that they were against you no matter which side you were on.
Right.
Because the questions were so punishing from both sides of the argument. When the petitioners were up, I thought, oh, they're going down. When the respondents were up, I thought, oh, they're going down.
Yeah.
Because the questions were just punishing. In the very beginning of the argument, they began with, are you telling me, petitioner, that you want us to change 10,000 years of this is the way it has been forever and a day,
sure.
And you want nine people to change the definition of marriage since the beginning of time. And they had a very hard time coming back with, well, how do you want nine people to change the way it's been since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And then Justice Ginsburg said, well, there are a lot of things that have been historically true about marriage. That, you know, man dominated over woman. And we changed that, didn't we?
Yeah.
Sometimes you'd see a justice set up the lawyer, sort of help the lawyer along when she was or he was getting hammered by another member of the court.
How interesting. You mentioned that Breyer and you mentioned Justice Roberts, very
yes.
engaged.
Mm.
What about Justice Kennedy? Because, you know, we're
not
thinking.
As much.
Really interesting.
He asked some questions, but I would say the questioning was dominated by Justice Sotomayor. And Justice Alito asked some very interesting questions. Justice Alito, in the first part of the argument, he kept going to the floodgates argument. If we allow same-sex marriage, won't we have to open it up to everything? What is to stop polygamy from being
right.
allowed?
Right.
And why would it be true that if I had a brother and sister who lived together for 25 years, who shared bank accounts, who shared a home, who had a loving and committed relationship, why shouldn't the law define that relationship as marriage? Tell me the difference between that. He would put these very strange, floodgates types of arguments to the lawyers.
And we've certainly heard those arguments made. We've certainly said, well, okay, if we do this, is that then going to stop this and this? What about Justice Scalia?
Justice Scalia, he kept being concerned about the court imposing through constitutional decisions things that were unpalatable to members of religious faiths, and Americans in general. Look, I don't want to impose on you by constitutional in sort of, something that comes down from the bench, what you have not been willing to do by a vote. And this rings true for many people, including in the state of Utah, that you have the opportunity to enact by a vote through the democratic process. Let's allow you to do this in that way. And this is what the Sixth Circuit said, the case that's here on appeal. Even though that, of course, is the opposite of the argument that the petitioners are making, he's saying, shouldn't we allow people to do this when they are ready and not until?
This is something we talked about with Congressman Bishop a little while ago, that he wishes that this had gone legislatively, that it had gone through votes, it had gone through legislators. And I've heard many people who are proponents of same-sex marriage who have said the same thing. Hey, we're going to take this, and we're going to take whatever the court has to say, but we too wish that it had happened through basically initiative by the people.
Yeah.
What else did you observe in the courtroom, Amanda?
When the Solicitor General got up, so this is the individual who is arguing on behalf of the United States.
This is Varelli Vitelli?
Yes, I think it's Varelli.
Yeah.
The petitioners conceded some of their time to him, and his main argument is that this is unfair and this is a violation of equal protection on behalf of all gay and lesbian people in the United States. And it was an interesting question that the chief put to him and also to the states when they argued against. He said, so look, are you basically saying that if Sue loves Joe and if Tom loves Joe, Sue can marry Joe and Tom can't?
Interesting.
So that's discrimination on its face, is it not? And how do you allow for that kind of discrimination? Well, when the state answered that question, the state said, look, the law is allowed to discriminate in some forms. That's what laws do. Laws are allowed to discriminate.
We discriminate against thieves. We discriminate against...
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Solicitor General talked about how gay families live together in right now. Gay families raise children right now. Gay families are wonderful contributors to society right now. Why should we not allow them to take part in this most sacred and dignity-giving of institutions, which is marriage?
By the way, I just looked up his name, U.S. Solicitor General Donald B. Verrilli, Jr., and he spoke. Did the idea of the genie in the bottle, the toothpaste back in the tube, did that ever come up?
No.
In other words, you know, right now, the vast majority of the American people live under the law that allows same-sex marriage. You think of the number of same-sex marriages to basically try to unravel that.
Not once,
Not
Doug.
Once did that come up. Interesting.
Not once. They did talk about the number of states who had already democratically passed laws that would embrace same-sex marriage, but not one. The justices didn't seem, or at least they didn't, by their questions, ask anything about what would happen if they had to go back in the opposite direction. They did talk a lot about how, you know, look at the what are the real differences between same-sex couples and heterosexual couples? I mean, other than the obvious, the state would say, look, our main argument is that we want to protect the sanctity of heterosexual couples because that is where children flourish.
Right.
And the petitioners would say, but children are flourishing right now with same-sex couples. So let's look at what reality is. I realize that that is what your goal is, but the reality is that children are in same-sex couples right now, and you are damaging them by this goal that you have. So it went back and forth between, this is the state's goal. The state's goal is that children stay with their mother and their father, the mother and father they were born to. But then Justice Sotomayor would jump in and say, but they don't always, do they? Even if same-sex marriage weren't the law, children do not always stay with the birth mother and father. Sometimes the father leaves, sometimes the mother leaves.
That's right.
Even if same-sex marriage weren't the law. And then they had began a heated discussion about adoption and how adoption
That's a big part of this.
It is a big part of this because same-sex couples do a lot of adopting in many of these states.
I try never to be covetous or envious, but to have that opportunity, I can see it in your face, Amanda.
Oh.
I can see as someone who has studied the law, practiced the law, from a journalistic point of view, from just a good old American citizen human being point of view, I can see it on your face, what an experience this must have been. And I am so pleased that you could share this with us and your perspective on this. And this is the question that everybody's going to be asking. We have Senator Lee standing by to join us, who is also in the courtroom. But let me ask this question. Did you get a sense of where this is going? You mentioned they got hammered either way the questioning went.
Well, that's what's so difficult to understand is that, you know, they do take questions from both sides. And I can't say that I did, Doug. One thing that they did get both sides to concede, though, is that if question one is decided in the affirmative, question two necessarily is decided in the affirmative. So both parties conceded that if one goes down, two goes
the
down necessarily.
Goes down too.
Did they tell you, though, about the man who stood up and made the big scene at the end of the...
No, I hadn't heard that.
At the end of the petitioner's first part of her argument, a crazy guy stood up and started yelling, you know, God hates and they escorted him from the courtroom. But before the Solicitor General got up to make his argument, you could hear the reverberation of his screaming in the hallways.
Just
and it was
exiting.
A strange echoing of that fearful, angry, hate-filled speech.
Boy, we saw it out
going
on the street.
Down the hallway as he began to talk about freedom. Isn't that something?
Yeah.